This morning's public reading of God's Word comes from Jeremiah chapter 8. So let us turn there this morning. Jeremiah's book, chapter 8. We're going to be reading the first 13 verses as we now unfold the 8th chapter to the book of Jeremiah. Verses 1 to 13, chapter 8. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. And they shall not be gathered, nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not rise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast the seat, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Every one turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth their appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribe is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and have and what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. Even the prophet, even the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of my people. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs of the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the thing that I have given them shall pass away from them. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. You would have to admit that this is a very sad and woeful portion of the book of Daniel, the book of Jeremiah, thank you. And it's not going to be the last woeful lament on the part of our prophet. Now you got to admit that the first three verses here, it's quite chilling. It's almost quite disturbing. And you would have to admit that it goes against some of the scruples that we find in the law of Moses. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings, the princes, the priests, the prophets, and the inhabitants out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, notice, whom they loved, whom they served, whom they walked after, whom they sought, and whom they have worshipped. So notice, these are not pagans that we're talking about. We're not talking about the Philistines. We're not talking about the Babylonians or the Assyrians. All the Egyptians who did worship the sun, moon, and stars and their pantheon of gods and goddesses. But this is God's covenant people. So, beloved, Maybe pastors or teachers say it so often, it becomes so familiar that it has no longer any impact upon us. These are God's covenant people, and they have gone off into rank idolatry by worshiping the creation, worshiping the creature more than the Creator. And you find similar verbiage found in Romans chapter 1. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, shows us that God on three occasions took the ones that Paul is describing there in Acts and Romans chapter 1, and I believe it is the Gentile nations who scattered from the Tower of Babel and eventually spread across the world. As they spread across the world, they took the truth that they had received from Father Noah. And in the course of time and distance from the location of where the ark came to rest, and the influence of men like Noah and his son Shem, in the course of time, that truth became embellished, it became perverted, it was added to, it was subtracted to, it was modified, it was twisted in every shape and form, whereby the truth was eventually buried, but it's still there if you look close enough. But in essence, the truth became perverted. And in time, God's people here, even after the time of Moses, the time of the wilderness wandering, the leadership of Joshua being given the land, in the course of time, God's covenant people began to look up and not worship the true and living God, but they began to turn their attention to the sun, to the moon, and the stars. Notice what it says in that verse 2. They love them. How do you love an inanimate object? Can the sun, moon, and stars love you back? Can you embrace the sun without becoming a French fry? Can you embrace the moon without dying for lack of oxygen? And how far must you go to embrace the nearest star to our solar system outside of our own sun? How far would you get before you would die? What else does it say? They serve them. How do you serve sun, moon, and stars? Now, I know how to serve food. You put it on a plate, you take your utensils, and you dig in. Well, how do you serve sun, moon, and stars? Notice, they walk after them. You know what that means? They govern their lives by the movements of sun, moon, and stars. We call that astrology. Horoscope, things of that nature, whom they sought. And then finally, the crux of the matter, whom they worshipped. So here's proof. Irregardless of what the atheist may say, irregardless of the secularist, irregardless of the agnostic, irregardless of the evolutionist, man is a worshiper. He'll worship anything but the true and living God. He'll worship bugs, he'll worship bees, he'll worship the bats. And in this case here, beloved, he's worshiping sun, moon, and stars. He governs his life. He doesn't get out of bed until he reads his horoscope to see whether it's safe to face another day. That's idolatry. That's idolatry. And in this horrible picture, these bones of their ancestors were going to be dug up, and they shall not be gathered nor be buried, but they shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. Oh my word. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family. Notice how God calls his covenant ancient people an evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. You got to admit, that is a horrible picture. That goes against all the ceremonial cleansing and all of the ceremonial righteousness that even the Levitical priest had to go about in order to go in the Holy of Holies and to serve. How do you go to a gravesite and dig up your ancestors and then leave their bones out there for the sun to bake and then to leave it there like dung upon the ground. Verse 4, moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not rise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back, notice, by a perpetual backsliding? The nation, beloved, seems to have been going in only one direction, fast and furious. They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. Notice, they rather be deceived. Beloved, right now, the American people are more content to be lied to and to be deceived. Americans love to be hoodwinked. They love to be taken for a ride. They love to be scammed. And they're scammed every day by the news media, by Hollywood, by Disney, and by our politicians. We love to be lied to. We even re-elect and pay the salary of those who deceive us every day with their handshake, their smiles, while they kiss babies. We love it that way. I hearkened and heard, verse 6, but they spoke not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Notice, they're not even willing to admit verses 2 is even idolatry. And we got a society today that doesn't want to even admit that we're born with a corrupt and sinful nature, that we come out of the womb spick and span with halos over our heads. But the part that's really disturbing is verse 11. These prophets he talks about in verse 10, these ministers, these pastors, these Sunday school teachers, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. Beloved, we don't need men behind the pulpit preaching slightly. We need men behind pulpits, and we need Sunday school teachers. We need professors in Bible colleges and in seminaries that go beyond the slightly. We need individuals to boldly proclaim truth. Truth divides as well as it heals. What were they saying? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. My word, the Babylonians were encircling the city. And Nebuchadnezzar had a pretty good track record in conquering other people. And yet within the city walls, Jeremiah is telling the people, flee to the Babylonians and you will save your skins. These prophets were saying, stay in the city and we can defend ourselves. How foolish they were, saying peace, peace, where there is no peace. And you're going to find the same verbiage in the Olivet Discourse and in the book of Revelation, where just when Jerusalem fell to the Romans in AD 70, there were people on the inside saying, peace, peace, when there was no peace. And then finally, that verse 12. And this speaks about our society and our culture today. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Were they ashamed about what you find in verse 2? Were they ashamed when they were being lied to and being deceived by the movers and shakers of the city? No, they loved to have it that way. They kept paying them. They kept choosing them as their leaders. Were they ashamed when they were told peace, peace, when the Babylonian army and its auxiliary troops were encircling Jerusalem? Neither could they blush. And in our culture today, nobody blushes. Children don't blush when they're corrected, when they're disciplined. I've seen teenagers. There's no blush, but there's a very mean, cold, harsh, callous face. I look into those darkened eyes. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down. Isn't it amazing that Jesus told the Jews in his day, in the Gospel of Luke, only found in Luke's rendering of the Olivet Discourse, the Jews missed the day of their visitation. Daniel told them when Messiah should be walking the planet, casting a shadow on the ground, and they missed the timing as well as the Messiah. They missed the day of their visitation. Here God tells them when their visitation would come in 586 BC at the hands of the Babylonians, they were not going to miss that visitation. Well, may God truly bless His word.